All right, thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6. Stephen has gone off helping a church in Orlando this morning. Everybody's having a time in the summer with everybody leaving, and a preacher had to go and called on us for help, and so he's preaching up there. And he said the other day something that I'm going to repeat to you. He said, there are places in the Bible that you are not wise to openly read in front of a mixed congregation. The part I'm reading to you this morning is sort of like that, in the sense of I would not even necessarily think the younger kids would want to hear and understand portion I'm going to read. And the subject I'm going to pick this morning to talk a little bit about is pretty repulsive. And yet I see that it's cropping up more and more in these last days. And I do believe we're in the last days. A lot of folks don't realize, but morals and decency and even civilization itself has come about because of God's word, because of God through the Jews and then through the church worldwide. And where neither one of these have had influence, the depravity of man is still just unfathomable. The things that that he's capable of and that he does, it's almost unbelievable. Look at in 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to just pick out a few verses. A famine's in the land here in Samaria. And Samaria is basically encircled by the enemy army of Ben-Hadad from Syria. And this is a plan that was followed in the past and to some degree still is today. But where one army would come and encircle a city, say like Jerusalem, and just plain starve the people out. Just keep them from going out to get supplies and so forth, and finally get the victory through an awful thing that we would call starvation. And this is the setting that we have here now in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'll pick it up in verse 25, read a few verses, bear with me. Little bit. Again, this is going off the beaten trail on the subject in the Bible. Here's the thing about the Bible. The Bible tells you the whole truth, whether it's pleasant or not. I think Brother Ken Lee back there was telling me this morning that he got a little information where the archaeologists have dug up and found out some of the government buildings or something that King David had. You know, the liberals tried to say King David was a figment of our imagination, that he never lived. But over and over now, the archaeologists are digging up evidence to prove them wrong. And we find in this setting here, Israel is under attack. The king of Israel don't know what to do. It's in the part we'd call Samaria here, verse 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. A donkey's head now going for a great big price. By the way, when things get tough enough, you can't eat silver and you can't eat gold. It's amazing what they'll trade it for when they get hungry enough. And the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Can you imagine paying that? But this is starvation time. Verse 26, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, which shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? He's saying these places are empty. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? That was one of grandma's words, aileth. I remember that as a kid. What aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today. and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she have hid her son. Now that's an awful, awful picture that comes to your mind, isn't it? Now, truthfully, this may not have happened. The woman may have been telling the king this story to show what a mess we're in, how bad it is. We don't know for sure that it happened or not, but we do know in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, God warned the Israelites that if they departed from him and went after the ways of the heathen, that the time would come they would be so desperate that they would eat the fruit of the womb. And you have several references in the Bible. Book of Lamentations kind of predicts the future. Bad time, what you and I call the tribulation period, that it may in some places get that bad. Now, whether this was real or not, it was a great time of famine here and was showing to the end of desperation. Now, what might be wrong with the story is this. If they ate one son one day, it'd be a number of days before they would need to eat the other. And so they think maybe the woman was putting pressure on the king, showing how desperate it is. We don't know that. It could have literally happened. Just she could be telling the truth. Now, this is a repulsive subject. Somebody was telling me that Glenn Beck, I hope Glenn Beck has got saved. One of the times I heard in a talk show, I listened to him a little bit, he was not saved. He thought he was. He was a good works kind of guy, not saved and born again like by grace. But anyway, he's right politically on most stuff. And it says, somebody said the other day, and I didn't see it, they said he showed a video and the war going on in Syria right now. And by the way, America's all messed up in that. Christians in Syria are hurting right now from the Brotherhood and others that are fighting the old government. They're being killed worse now than ever before. I don't want to get off in that, but that's a fact right now. And yet here we are sending money on both sides and everything all fouled up. Anyway, with that said, Ben Beck showed a video and he warned how gross it would be. And one of the rebel soldiers in the video had killed a Syrian soldier and reached down and cut him open and took his liver out and began to eat it for the video. Now, I want to say to you, that's going on more than you think. In heathenism and in a lot of places in the world right now, that is more common than you would believe. And I know it's gross, and I know we don't like to think. See, we have the Western mindset. You know where that comes from? It comes from the Bible. It comes from the oracles given to the Jews, God's people. It comes on up through the church and through the Bible age. And where the Bible's gone, civilization has flourished. And where it's not gone, the depravity and heathenism of man is still unbelievable in these places. The Jews had dietary laws from the Bible, laws about cleanliness. When the Black Plague hit Europe, a lot of folks wanted to blame the Jews because the Jews didn't seem to be catching it. They were not catching it because of their personal hygiene of cleanliness. And much of the world has benefited, even with the problem and God's judgment on the Jews of scattering them abroad. Still, they took morals and the Word of God, Old Testament, and dietary habits, cleanliness, all that helped places that they went because they helped to spread that. Now, we abhor the idea of what we call cannibalism, even in desperation times. I can't remember the name of the movie. They made a movie of the real event of, I believe it was a bunch of sports players on an airplane that crashed into the mountains somewhere in Europe. And they wound up eating the dead bodies and living. And finally, one of the ironic things about it to me was when they finally got out, they found out, even though they were in the snowy peaks of the mountains and freezing to death and eating the dead bodies of the plane victims to live, they were only 25 miles away from civilization. And finally, when two of them did try to cross the mountains and finally found they were no further than that from help all the time up there on those mountain peaks. But they made a movie out of that, and the big thing about it was because they did turn to cannibalism or begin to eat human flesh. Siberian stories that come out of from the prisoners of Siberia. The story was told, and about this, how that if prisoners escaped, they tried to escape at least two at a time, or three at a time, because when they went as far as they could, and the first one that died became food for the others if they still had strength to keep going. Again, that's not helping your lunch any. But the truth of the matter is, that's a real world, as evil and bad as it is out there. That's what the curse of sin has done to the human race. We abhor the idea, and yet it might be more common than you think. We just got back off from the trip from Montana, and we stayed in a Christian couple's home one of the last nights. Crossed over after seeing the Yellowstone, about 40 miles into Wyoming, into a real nice place there in the mountains where they let preachers stay free. That was the nicest thing about it. Anyway, it was beautiful, but in the home, a middle-aged couple, middle age has got a lot higher with me now that I've gotten older, and I'll tell you that. But anyway, middle-aged couple, and the dad, the man's dad was also living with them, and he was in his 90s. He was a World War II veteran, and very clear-minded. We ate breakfast with him, and I enjoyed talking with him. The son had already warned me, if you pull his string on some of these war stories, you'll get them. I pulled his string on purpose. I love history anyhow, and I love real personal testimonies. But he was in the Fiji Islands. When he was put over there in the Fiji Islands in World War II, he said when we went in and doing the work of cutting the trees and all they had to do to build an air base or whatever it was they were doing there, he spent a lot of time there. And I asked him, did he learn the language? He said, no, but I learned a song, and he sang the song for me. And he sang it in their language, and it was a pretty lengthy little song that he sung to. Of course, I didn't understand the word. And so I asked him, what was the song about? He said, that song is about a missionary woman that came to the islands and taught them Christianity. And before she come, cannibalism was big. One tribe would raid another tribe and take captives and eat them. And he said, the song is about the missionary woman that came and taught them better than that and taught them Christianity. And by the way, we have a missionary. In fact, Mike Case's dad, I believe, is a missionary with the Fiji Islands right now. And I thought how wonderful it is that in their culture, he said, I heard it. I said, how can you know the song? He said, I heard it everywhere I went. I heard it every day. I heard it many times. The common people had learned the song, thanking God for getting the gospel and the standard of living and so forth that had come. He said, I was working with a couple of guys, and he said, everybody didn't get saved, of course. He said, all of them were not embracing Christianity. And he said, a lot of them still wanted to do the old ways. He said, I was working with a couple of guys one day, and they were planning something. I found out what they were planning, a couple of the natives. They were planning on raiding a neighboring village, and they were hoping to steal a young baby and barbecue it, or we'd call it barbecue it. And he said, they asked me that I want to go with them. Now, I'm talking to you folks about a hard truth that you say, well, what's it relevant to? Well, if the Lord don't come, and even after he comes, after the rapture takes place, and when Christianity, which is losing influence in a lot of places, now thank God for the missionaries and where it's gaining influence, But there's a trend in the world today. It's on your TV, it's in the movies, it's on the games the kids play. All this horrible stuff of heathenism is making gains today that you would not believe. Some of you remember the news, Idi Amin and some of the dictators over in the African countries and others, when they displaced some of these dictators, they went into their apartments and found where they had human hearts and livers and parts in their freezer, just like you would go deer hunting and have deer steaks in your freezer. I'm talking about in the last few years, talking about stuff that is horrible to believe, but yet very real. Now, we can kind of joke about it. We've seen Bob Hope in the movie, you know, pretending to be in the native's pot being boiled, and some of the old black and white movies. Anybody remember that? Jokes like that. I know a missionary that told this for the truth. He is an early missionary, probably back in the 20s. But he'd gone into the Congo or somewhere at that time into a headhunting cannibalistic tribe. And when they caught him, he had a wooden leg. Back in those days, they made the artificial legs out of wood. His story was, to keep from being ate, he pulled his pants leg up, took a knife, and cut a piece of the wood off the leg and gave it to him to taste. They decided they wouldn't eat him. Now, that's the story that was put in print. Whether it's true, I don't know. But that sort of thing. And while we might smile at that, it is a very, very bad thing that we are seeing a regression going back in the world today to stuff like this. You say, oh, no. Well, how about the serial killers in America? Yeah. It's been killing victims and eating them. Really, in the news here few months ago. And some of these serial killers, some of these fellas they found their parts in their fridge and all of that kind of business. Now, where's that come from? Well, that's the devil's side of things. When man fell, he fell a lot further than you and I that have been raised, so to speak, with a silver spoon in our mouth or in a comfortable Christian setting in America. We don't quite get our minds around some of it. Some of the missionaries can tell you how bad some of that stuff is and how it is accepted. And we can see a little regression going back into that sort of thing. Now, what concerns me a little bit, quite a bit, is I see our kids coming up being brainwashed into accepting things that we find repulsive and abhor. Homosexuality ought to be repulsive to us. Yeah, they're trying to brainwash us every way they can to make it acceptable, but it's not acceptable. God calls it an abomination. And yet our kids now, when they put out a poll, and you've read these polls in the paper, they're saying the younger generation accepts it. The younger generation, you know, just go ahead and accept it. Well, they've had, and by the way, it's taught in curriculum from kindergarten on up. On your radio, our radio station today, church station today. And I know they run it earlier in the week and it's a repeat. But today they're talking about the little girl or boy that's enrolled in school, and he was born a boy or girl, whichever one it was, but his parents and he have decided he really is not a boy, he's a girl. Or not a girl, he's a boy, whichever way it was. And the parents are saying this is all right, whatever he wants to be. And the school is saying it's all right that he's going to be in. And the news person said, well, later on he may have trouble playing sports, or he may have trouble going to the restroom. We got this stuff now to where it is, you cannot discriminate. If a boy comes to school and says, I'm really a girl at heart, then he's got a right to use the girl's restroom. I'm not making that up. That's been in the news, amen. And how ridiculous it is. Now, what bothers me even about something as gross as cannibalism, we're getting kids brought up to accept such foolishness that is abhorred by just decent folks, not less just Christians, but moral folks. For instance, way back in the early 70s, they had a curriculum that went into the early kindergarten and first grade called MACOS, M-A-C-O, apostrophe S, and I cannot remember all it stood for, but it was a curriculum that came in, and here's what it would teach. It would teach the kids hypothetical situations to try to destroy any taboo they had against doing some of these gross things. For instance, it taught where a Eskimo family was desperate times, about to starve, and it taught that it was all right to kill grandma and eat her that was in the family. I'm talking about young kids. It would give kids a choice like this. You're on a boat, a little boat. The boat is sinking. Now, in the boat is mom and dad, little boy, and grandma. We've got to unload the boat. Who goes first? Now, they taught that in the early 70s. Then they taught kids, and this was back even, started way back in the late 60s when they were riding in the streets and in the universities, so-called. They taught this sort of stuff to a kid on a test, what we'd call a test. You make a choice answers. Answer was this, or the choice was this. Would you rather eat a mouthful of flesh, human flesh, or spit on the American flag? Which one would you do if you had to make a choice? Well, how ridiculous that is. I got in an argument with a so-called educator about that, and I said, you know the kid, what the answer would be. What you're trying to do is teach anti-Americanism, anti-flag, anti-patriotism. So sure, they'd spit on the flag before they'd eat a mouthful of human flesh. He said, well, what's your answer? I said, you don't have to answer it either way. And I said, if I had a kid, I'd tell him not to answer it either way and dare you to mark it wrong. And that's the kind of junk, though, that we've seen brought in. And of course, they bring it in from the youngest age. Now, there's something about the devil's plan that deals with blood, deals with gross stuff, from homosexuality to cannibalism to anything else you want to mention. That's the devil's side. And it's very real, the brainwashing that's going on with our younger folks. Now, if you look at God's word on it, and I don't have time to run a lot of scriptures, but in Leviticus chapter 17, God forbids what? He forbids the eating of blood, don't he? And I've said this to you before when we was teaching a little bit on diet the other day. I know some of you men, you think you're more macho if the blood's running out of the plate when you put the steak in it, but I don't want it that way. I want it cooked a little bit because the Bible warns me about eating the blood, drinking the blood. I've seen some fellows do it. I used to have to visit a place once a month where they slaughtered cattle, slaughterhouse. And it was, it almost made me stop eating beefsteak. Now, I said almost, but anyway, it was not a pretty scene. You'd see those cows march through the chute and knocked in the head and stripped and all. I mean, it's blood. You had to put on special little boots and dress to go in there because your blood was pretty thick on the floor, and it smelled, and it was not a pretty scene. They had a couple of fellows there that would hit the cows in the head, and in the little chute they went into, and they had a little old tin cup hanging on a nail. And I asked them what the cup was for, and they said, you want a drink? I said, drink of what? They said, watch the guy in a minute, he'll take himself a drink. He would punch a cow in the someplace, in an artery, in a vein, with like a little old straw reed, not, it wasn't like you'd suck a milkshake out of, but it was a little tube with a point on it. He'd stick it in there and he'd catch the blood in the cup and he'd drink it. And warm blood right out of a cow that's still just dying. And I told him, I said, you fellows are violating the Bible. I said, not only is that unhealthy for you, you don't know what disease you may be picking up, but I said, you're violating the Bible when it tells you that the life of the flesh is in the blood and forbids you to drink it or eat the blood. Now, it's forbidden in the Bible. Now, it's a thing of the devil. If you were to look over to Psalms 106, verse 37, I should have jumped in the scripture a little faster here. You find it quick as I can. Psalms 106, I believe I've got it marked right. And you'll see what it's really talking about. It says in verse 36, they served idols, which were a snare unto them. Talking about Israel being trapped into the heathenism. Yes, they sacrificed sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Now, this is the very thing that I'm talking to you about right here, that God forbid. And you find the Israelites, when they went into the heathen land, they found them offering their babies to their idols. They found and something to do. And today, with the so-called vampirism business with young people, it is amazing how the devil is interested in blood. How many of you have ever known a teenager that started taking something sharp and cutting themselves with it? You haven't known about that? I've dealt with several. They couldn't hardly tell me why they were doing it, but they did it. And I've had an experience which time will not allow me to get. I'm going to mess up. I already lost my time this morning. But I've dealt with a very demon-possessed man that acted exactly like the maniac of Gadara in the Bible, where he took and cut himself and bled. Man would reach up and break the window with his bare hands, stripped off his clothes, pulled the glass out of the window and took it and cut himself. Just like in the Bible. That's the devil's side of things. So when we are talking about something here, we're talking about something the devil's inspired. Many of you saw the film that I've shown to the church where the demon girl was in the preacher's office. Not a fake film, a real thing. And where he was calling the demons out of her. And while she was in that trance, how she brought her arm up and bit a big plug of flesh out of her arm. That's the devil's side of things. And yet, what's so bad about it is our kids are being taught this kind of stuff to be acceptable. The Bible tells you, Jesus said it about six times, I believe, in the book of Matthew alone. He warned about people going to hell where there would be gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth. Somebody said, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of company. Not the kind you want. Not the kind you can fellowship with. You'll have gnawing on you. I have to do this because of time. There's a possibility in the future when you get to Revelation chapter 6, and you find the souls under the altar, the martyrs. You'll find out the two witnesses in the street in the midst of a tribulation period. When they're killed, their dead bodies lie in the street. You know why it says bodies? Because the head's been removed. You know the way the Antichrist is killing folks in the tribulation period? He's decapitating them. He's cutting their heads off. Revelation 20, chapter 4 tells you how they're killed. And I'm saying to you that in the tribulation period, when the devil is able to take over through his man, through the Antichrist, and institute, and it'll happen around an altar, probably in the temple in Jerusalem, there's going to be some blood sacrifices offered, just like the pagans have been doing through the years. The Mayans and others, they show on TV, well, they grabbed the heart out. Indiana Jones made $1 million off of a gross movie like that. That's bad stuff. But it's Satan's side of things, mocking the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, doing that God says defiles, doing that God abhors, and taking it to an extreme that is unusual, and yet we see it. We see it today. I said, Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the tares as being the children of the evil one, being cast into a furnace of fire, where he says there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I know the near-death story of a fellow that was in the hospital, and he said, "I died, and they brought me back, but before they brought me back," he said, "I had this crowd come at me." He describes them as devils, demons. He said, "At first they looked like people, and then I realized that they were devils, and they were gnawing on me, gnashing on me, trying to drag me down in the pit of fire before they resuscitated." And that's his story. That was his story. He said, I certainly didn't live for God before that heart attack. But he said, "I'll tell you one thing," and he not only living for God, he made a preacher after that. It brought him to his senses when he realized that. Well, that's the Bible. The Bible says it's going to be a crowd that'll be gnawing on each other, gnashing of teeth. So there's something, an awful side picture here. I dealt with something kind of repulsive this morning, but I'm saying that because it's getting to be so much more accepted, this kind of stuff being accepted on the video games, on the TV, and young people, instead of being turned off by that stuff, is beginning to accept it. Just back your calendar up. How about homosexuality 40 years ago? Huh? I mean, it was abhorred. But now you're the wrong one if you speak against gay marriage. You're the wrong one if you speak against this sin. No, sir. We're going to stick where the Bible sticks. Amen. But it's going to reach ahead, and in the tribulation period, you're going to see these forces against God come to the place that human sacrifice, just like the pagan religions offered it,